Log Talk Radio.
We give you praise, glory, and honor for allowing us to see enough Shabbat, for giving us the breath of life, Lord. We ask that you forgive us for our sins, that you hear our praise. Father, thank you again for giving us that breath of life and allowing us to see another one of your Shabbats that you took the time out and just wanted to sup with your children and talk with us and lead us and guide us, give us instruction. Father, we ask that we thank you for protecting us through the week, and we ask that you continue to protect us this upcoming week, Father. Our brother, Yariel, and the words that you put within him last night, Father. Pray that they edify and take root within us, Father. Father, we ask that you continue to heal the sick, whoever is suffering mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually, Father, that you heal them, you bring them to a greater understanding, Father, that you bring all of us to a greater understanding. Increase us and little by little, give us what we need, Father. Continue to turn us into the men and women, sons and daughters that you desire, Father. Soften our hearts and allow us to work together and understand one another and continue to unify us, Father. Spiritually, Father. Continue to bring us unto you, fully for sure. In Yahushua's name, we ask all these things. Give you praise, glory, and honor. Blessed are you, Yahweh, our mighty one, King of the universe, who has chosen good prophets and was pleased with the words that were uttered with truth. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who chooses the Torah, Moshe your servant, Israel his nation, and the prophets of truth and righteousness. Amen. Shabbat Shalom, family. Welcome to Magnify the Torah, Make It Honorable. Your brother, Dave Well. Hope everybody had a great week. And if you didn't, it's Shabbat. Lay your burdens down, you know. Bask, but you know, this is the time he set apart for us. This is the time that he commanded us to come and sup with him. You know. So, family, today we're going to talk about believing in yourself. As we read through the scriptures, you know, Yahushua oftentimes said you, why did you doubt? Ye of little faith, you have little faith. You know? And a lot of times we think that he's speaking of doubting with him. And in some cases that is true. But a lot of times he's speaking of doubting yourself. You know? Everything within this world, when we look within this world, is two sides to everything. It's a duality of things. One doesn't work without the other. Before I continue, please send a message. Hope everybody hear me clearly. You know, just send a message that I'm coming through fine. Please. But everything works in duality, you know. There's light and dark. There's right and wrong, you know, when you're looking at the opposite of things. But when you look at your body, when you look at your body, the left side of the body functions with the right side of the body. You know, your left kidney does the same thing as your right kidney does. You know, and so forth and so forth. So when he's giving us this example, we can have a belief within Yahushua, but if we don't believe in ourselves, that causes a misfunction. Let's say dysfunction. So let's go to the book of Mark. We're going to start off in the book of Mark, chapter 9. We're going to read verses 16 to 29. Mark chapter 9, starting at verse 16. And it reads, "And he asked the scribes, what question do you with them? And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to your disciples, to thy disciples, that they should cast him out, and they could not." Verse 19, "He answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me." So when he heard these things, the first words out of his mouth, "You're lacking faith. You're lacking faith. How long do I have to suffer with y'all lack of faith?" You know, he's waiting for us to grow this faith. He's waiting for us to mature, to ripen. You know, like a gardener waits for his crop to harvest. You know, he's putting in his work and he expects a harvest. He expects a profit. He's going, how long do I have to suffer at this? How long are you not going to execute everything that's going to cause this faith to be about? To come about. So, I'm not going to explain it. We're going to let the word explain exactly what's being presented. So, he says, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. Verse 20. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit carried him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed on it. So that spirit recognized Yahushua. Recognized him. And as soon as that spirit was within that presence, was in the presence of Yahushua, what did he do? He reacted to it. Right? Threw him on the ground, and he started foaming at the mouth. Verse 21. And he asked him, Father, and he asked his father, excuse me, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. He said, of a child. And oftentimes, it has cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. Here you go. You can do anything. Have compassion on us and help us. So the question was put out there. I answered all your questions. He had the spirit as a kid since he was a baby. He didn't threw him in fires. He didn't threw him in waters. You know, I don't want my son to die. The spirit is trying to kill him. And been trying since he was a child. So if you can do anything possible, Yahushua, you know, have compassion. Help me. If you can do anything, help me. Verse 23, Yahushua said unto him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believe. So do you think I can do anything? No, hey, what's going on? You know, do you think I can do it? Because that's the stipulation. If you don't think I can do it, I can't do it. It's not going to happen. I need you to understand. I need you to believe I can do it. Right? He says, verse 24. And straightway, father of the child cried out and said with tears, Master, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. I have this belief. I know you can do it. But there's something inside of me holding me back. I believe that you can accomplish this thing. But there's still something there. Help that. Show me. Help that. You know? Help the unbelief. Help the part of me that is saying, I can't, or that's not possible, or I'm not worthy. It shouldn't have been me. Help that part of me. Help the part of me that is hindering the power of Yah. Help that part of me. Because I believe it. I believe these things can happen. But there's still a part of me that's holding me back. Right? Verse 24 again. He said, straightway the father of the child, and said with tears, Master, I believe, help thou my unbelief. When Yahushua saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, you dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore, and came out of him, and he was as one dead, in so much that many said, he is dead. That spirit came on that boy and left him in a sad state. But this was a spirit that had been on him as a child. As my brother said, been saving up those pennies for a long, long time. Those pennies started adding up. That spirit was on his child for a long, long time. And when it separated from him, he said it was like he was big so much to the fact people thought that child died. Says verse 27, he says, "But Yahushua took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could not we cast him out? Why couldn't we handle this? Did we do something wrong? What's going on?" Because remember, he took him to his disciples first. Verse 29, he said, "And he said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting." So sometimes to know and understand, not sometimes, we have to know and understand how to get these things off of us. Because all of these problems don't have the same solutions. Like you said, this particular spirit came off. The only way you can get it off, prayer and fasting. There's going to be some spirits where you can change your thinking, and that spirit comes off of you. All right? So we have to understand and we have to use the correct method to get to We have to use the correct method to get to the answer or the focus that we're trying to get to. The journey, the destination, that's the word. All right? We have to go about it in the right way. All the problems don't have the same solutions. So with this story, now let's couple that with in the book of James. The book of James, chapter 2. And we're going to start at verse 12. All right? You know, and James is a really good book. I always like that book. Because he say a whole lot. So we're going to start at verse 12. James chapter 2, starting at verse 12. He's picking up with this idea. He says, So speak ye. Hold up. We're going down to 26. James chapter 12, starting at James chapter 2, 12 to 26. It says, "So speak ye and so do, as they shall be judged by the law of liberty." So he's saying, the things you speak, you also have to do. Because he gives this beautiful example. It says, "So speak ye and so do." Not or. "And so do, as they shall be judged by the law of liberty." Verse 13, For he shall have judgment without mercy that have showed no mercy, and mercy rejoiceth against judgment. So when you're getting judged, if you don't show mercy, Abba has no mercy for you. Right? He says, mercy rejoices against judgment. You want the mercy of the Most High when it comes time to be judged. Right? But remember, speak ye and so do. That's the whole point of this. Verse 14, it says, what doeth profit, my brethren, though a man speaks, he has faith, and has not works, or is not doing the things of faith. What doeth profit, my brethren, though a man says he has faith, and has not works? In other words, they go hand in hand. You can't separate the two. You can't separate the two. You know? Just like when we look into, you can't separate your belief. See, Yahushua needs him to understand, yeah, he's saying you believe it. Yes, I believe, but there's a part of me that hinders me, right? And that part was the unbelief, right? But Yahushua was saying, well, wait a minute, I need you, and James gives this illustration. We're going to get into the illustration. It can't be just one, because that's what James is asking in here. He said, what does it profit, my brother, if you just say, I have faith in Yahushua, I have faith in Yahushua, I have faith in Yahushua, but if you don't do any of the things that you ask, what's the point of saying that? He says this, can faith save him? Can faith by yourself, are you going to get into the kingdom just by saying, I have faith in Yahushua, I have faith in Yahushua, I have faith in Yahushua? Yahushua himself answered that in the parable when he said, Master, haven't we done this and haven't we done that? No, I don't know you. But we've done this in your name and we've done that in your name. We've done this in your name. Look, workers of iniquity, I don't know you. You're not getting in. He said that. Right? So, verse 15, he says, beautiful illustration. If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace. One of you saying this, depart in peace, and be warm and filled. So you got a person out there, don't have the proper clothing, hungry, cold, and all you're saying to them is, I have faith that your belly will be full. I have faith that your body will warm up and keep you warm out in the snow. I have faith clothes will fall from heaven. When you have all these things to give, when you have all these things to offer, he said, if one of you say unto them, depart in peace and be ye warm and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what do it profit? So you have these things that can fulfill these needs, but all you're saying is, be blessed. Be blessed. Go in peace. Be blessed. Most I got you. Be blessed. A man is hungry. You got four burgers. But you say, be blessed. He's not going to start out. Be blessed. What do it profit? verse 17, it says, even so faith, if it has not works, it is dead, being alone. He said that's how faith works. This is how your faith is activated. Yeah, faith is activated first when you believe, but that belief is, well, that belief is supposed to cause something to happen. That belief is supposed to bring forth an action. Right? He says, verse 18, he says, yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, you have faith, and I have works. He says, show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. So you can say you have faith all you want, but if you aren't showing forth it, you don't have faith. If you are not producing the things that bring that faith is supposed to bring about. Why is it that when Paul wrote, he talks about the fruit of faith was one of those fruits? Something is supposed to be produced. You can't just keep on saying these things and nothing is being produced. You need to check check yourself. Because that's something else that we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be checking ourselves and lining ourselves up with this word. Right? He says, I will show you my faith by my words. Verse 19 says, you believe that there is one mighty one. You do well. The devils also believe and tremble. Okay. You believe there's a God. You believe that there's one God. Okay. What do you do? The devils also believe that. They know that. He says, but wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead. Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works? And again, he's going into giving more examples. Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he had offered Isaac, his son, upon the altar? So we're familiar with this. It wasn't when, okay, Yahweh said, offer up your son, Isaac, Abraham. Offer him up to me. Provide him as a sacrifice. Abraham said, okay, I'm going to offer him up. Now, what if he said, okay, I'm going to offer him up, but then never offered him up? Would he be the father of faith then? No. It was his actions that caused him to do that. He's going to keep on talking about that. Verse 21 again. He says, was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he had offered Isaac, his son, upon the altar? Verse 22, seeing thou how faith wrought with his works. In other words, they worked hand in hand. Seeing how faith wrought with his works. And by works was faith made perfect. Do you understand? And he's saying this stuff. Do you get it? Your works work hand in hand. Faith is just the beginning. Your works, what the faith produces, and they come together. That's what makes it perfect. That's what makes it complete. Right? He says, verse 23, he says, and the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed on me, and was imputed unto him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of Elohim. You see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith alone? Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works, when she had received the messengers, and she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way. He says, verse 26, for as the body without the spirit, so faith without works is dead also. Yet another example. Our body does not function without the spirit that Abba gives us every morning. Because we don't know when it's leaving. Whenever we open our eyes, Abba has allowed that spirit to stay within us. And when it leaves, the body does nothing on its own. So it's the two together that causes these things to come about. All right? That's the point that Brother James was making. That's the point that Abba needs us to see. Also, it's not just belief in Yahushua. It's belief in yourself. Believe that you can do these things. Right? We're going to the book of Joshua, or the book of Yahushua, chapter 1. We're going to read verse 1. And then we're going to drop down to verses 5 through 8. Right. So, Yahushua 1:1, it says, now after the death of Moshe, the servant of Yahweh, it came to pass that Yahweh spake unto Yahushua, the son of Nun, Moshe's minister, saying, drop down to verse 5, it says, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moshe, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. So that's Yahweh speaking to Yahushua, letting him know the same way I was with Moshe, that's how I'm going to be with you. Nobody's going to be able to stand up to you. Verse 6, it says, be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shall thou divide for inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Point being, we want to recognize, start to verse 7. It says, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou may observe it all to do according to all the law which Moshe my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper wherewith thou goest. Be strong and of good courage. That's the point. Know that I'm going to be with you. If you know that I'm going to be with you, be strong and of good courage. Understand that nobody's going to be able to stand against you. If you have faith in that, be strong and of good courage. Don't turn from my law to the left or to the right, if you understand that I'm with you. Understand the stipulations. They're coming together. If you have faith in my word, be strong, be of good courage. Don't turn to the left and to the right. You know, This is how we've shown we have faith in his word. Because we're not turning to the left or to the right. We're being very courageous. And this is what, these are the things that he's telling Yahushua and telling us. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. Now, this is how we're going to be strong and of good courage. Because in order for us to be strong and of good courage, our knowledge, our wisdom, our understanding of his word has to get better. It has to increase. As it increases, as we understand more, we should do more. That's the effect of our understanding. Deuteronomy chapter 4, starting at verse 5, it says, "Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as Yahweh, my mighty one, commanded me, that you should do so in the land wherever you go possess it. Keep therefore and do them. For this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people." This is our wisdom and our understanding. And this is what we're supposed to be showing off within this world. As we come to get more wisdom and more understanding, more can be shown off. Yahushua understands the word perfectly. That's why when he walked in his flesh, he was able to do the things that he could do. He was able to heal the sick. He was able to cast out those demons. He was able to defy physics. His flesh didn't hold him back. His flesh couldn't hinder him. There was not an unbelief in it. And if there was an unbelief in it, he was able to, let's say he was, because the word said that he was tempted in all ways. But he was able to overcome that temptation. Let's say unbelief did try to creep up on him. Because in the Garden of Gethsemane, he was like, "Father, wait a minute, if there's any other way, can you let this cup pass me? Any other way, let it pass from me." But what do you say? "Not what I want. What do you want? Not my will be done. Not my desire be done. Let your desire be done." So he was able to subdue it. He was able to beat it down. He was able to in check. And it talks about all the things that he did. He said everything that he did was written down. The earth couldn't contain the volumes of books that would be written. But what do you say? This is our understanding. This is our wisdom in the sight of everybody. So as we grow, we should be growing. As we grow, these fruits should be maturing and bringing forth more. Right? So we ought to be able to handle those situations where our flesh is rising up more. When our spouses are getting on our nerves, we ought to be able to handle that a little more. When we out and about and somebody offends us, we should be able to subdue this flesh more. In the book of Psalms, chapter 119, starting at verse 97. Psalms 119:97, and this is the section from Mem. It says, "Oh, how I love thy law, is my meditation all the day. You, through your commandments, have made me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation." Y'all get this? When we study the word, the world ain't smarter than us. We're smarter than the world. We get it. They don't. We just say before the Lord, say, surely there's some people going to say about it. Surely this nation, these people, great. Y'all get it. Look at these laws. Look at these testimonies. Y'all get it. He says, "I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation." Verse 100. "I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts." Wait a minute. So as we keep the precepts and these things become unlocked onto us, we'll understand more of this word than the ones before us. Verse 101. "I have refrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep thy word." We'll be able to do that more. "I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way." So we'll understand and understand what these last couple of scriptures is talking about. It was talking about us individually, building up our understanding of that word. Building up our, and when I say our, I mean us individually. Oxymoron, I get it. But everybody's individual faith. You know? As we grow individually, we're going to be able to show more individually. Please, 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 do not compare yourself to anyone else. Your growth is your growth. Your timing is your timing. Your walk, your journey, all that is individual. and people who are ahead don't look down to the people who are, quote unquote, lacking. And I'm using that term very loosely. All right? We're supposed to be able to help one another. We're not supposed to be able to. We're supposed to help one another along this journey. We're supposed to bear each other's burdens. We're supposed to. These are the things we're supposed to be doing, but we have to still understand while we are traveling collectively, we're still traveling individually. We got to get that. See, it's the see, when Yahushua said, whoever the Father gives me, I'm not going to lose just one. I'm not going to lose none. I'm not. He's, as long as we stay with him, we good. Our task is to stay within him. Be that collectively and individually. You see a brother going off, straying off to the right, to the left. Do your best to pull him back in. Ultimately, it's his choice, but do your best to pull him back in. You know? But again, it's an individual thing along with the, if they coincide, they're running simultaneously. Everything that Abba's doing is not just a one thing. It's not just an individual thing. Abba's doing so many things at one time. How else is he going to get this nation built? You know? How else is he going to get this nation built? But again, you know, our understanding of this word has to increase. As we understand this word, we are able to display more of these fruits, all right? So, now let's look. All right. Okay, let me go back one. All right, because something was said. All right. All right. Focus. And then, all right, it says, verse 98 and verse 99. It says, through your commandments, have made me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. And again, oh, that hurt. Get myself in the mouth of this. And verse 104. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. This is talking about how, again, how smart and how wise this word is going to make us. And through that wisdom, we're able to show forth faith, right? And show forth these fruits, right? So now, why is this wisdom so important for us? And it goes back, remember where we started. Help my unbelief. Right? Deuteronomy chapter 12, starting at verse 29. Again, he says, I believe, but help my unbelief. So, Deuteronomy chapter 12, starting at verse 29, it reads, we're going 29 to 32. It reads, when Yahweh, your mighty one, so cut off the nations from before you, wherever you go to possess them, and you succeed them, and dwell in their land. Focus, verse 30. Take heed to yourself that you be not snared by following them. After that, they be destroyed from before thee. Listen. Take heed to yourself that thou be not snared by following them. After that, they be destroyed from before thee, and that you inquire not after their gods. How did these nations serve their gods? Even so will I do likewise. You shall not do unto Yahweh your mighty work, for every abomination to Yahweh, which he hateth, have they done unto their gods, for even their sons and their daughters they have burnt in the fire to their gods. What things soever I command you, observe to do it. Thou shalt not add thereto, nor diminish them. But let's focus on verse 30, and what he says, take heed to yourself that you be not snared by the following of them. So guess what? Why does a lot of this unbelief reside in us? Because a lot of times we are snared by their gods. We're snared by their science. We're snared by their medicines. We're snared by all these things that they're putting out there. That's they caught us. If Yahweh said, I put medication within the leaves, why not look into an herbal remedy? Why not look into the different plants that he put here naturally to cure yourself and to get rid of these ailments instead of what the doctor says? And don't get me wrong. When I say doctor, I'm talking about those doctors that are pushing these different medicines, these different medicines on you that are making your body weak. They're not building your body up. They're making your body weak. Because that's what they're doing. One medicine, you have diabetes, you got 8 different pills for your one ailment. You got high blood pressure. You take one pill for the high blood pressure, but then the high blood pressure pill causes your body to dysfunction in another way. So you got to take a pill for it and so forth, where it keeps on waterfall. But Yahweh said, I gave you my word. I gave you my word to take care of this, to look into these things. And if you heed my word, you'll be smarter than all your teachers. Well, guess what? A lot of times, the world is our teacher. Where are we getting this information from? A lot of these things are being force-fed down our throat, and it enters into our mind, so it takes root in us. So when you ask people different things, they give you these scientific nonsense that's not proven. Like this whole crap with this vaccine. You got people all over the world fussing and fighting over our vaccine. Nothing has been proved. And the more that you listen and the more that comes out, nothing is going to be proven. Because everybody's opinion, you got this virologist, a virologist who knows XYZ about all these viruses, and he says something different from this scientist over here, and you're taking it all in. But Yahweh said, don't even worry about that. Don't worry about that. Just hold on to my word. And you're going to be smarter than all of them. I found it real interesting that you know, our brother put a TikTok video, and this guy said, one of the people who was watching the news, he says, he talked about Israel. He talked about looking at three different countries. He said Israel, India, and the United States. He said Israel has a 92% vaccination rate, where 92% of the people over in Israel got this vaccination for this COVID-19 Delta strand. The original one, and this Delta strand, I think, also. But he said what happened with the 92%, it was another outbreak, and the majority of the new cases was the people who were already vaccinated. People who didn't get vaccinated either are still not catching it or accounted for a very little new cases. But all the new cases was the people who already had the vaccine. And it was 92% of the people in Israel that had the vaccine. They were fully vaccinated and caught it again. Right? But then he said, he talked about India. That India is dirt poor. They can't afford to get the vaccinations and this, that, and another. They can't afford the vaccines. So it's hardly anybody vaccinated over there. But what do you say? They have almost total immunity. They don't even have, they're not worried about COVID over there. They're living their life. They're chilling. He said there's hardly no COVID cases over in that dirt poor country where the vaccine doesn't exist. The man asked why. He said because of the diet that these Indian people eat. He said the state, country of India is separated into 29 states. He said you have the northern 9 and you have the southern 20. The southern 20 are the poor states, and they have almost no COVID cases. He said because they eat a bunch of wild rice, and they eat a bunch of fresh herbs, turmeric on everything, and they eat all these cilantros and all kinds of herbs, and they eat them fresh. He said they don't cook them. So they're getting the full effect of the herb, and they eat these things daily. Anybody who eats Indian food knows it's a very herby, you know, a lot of times the scents can knock you down, you know? But that's what's going on. And they put things like this in the media. When they put the facts out there, people who are doing what the words say around the world, even though they might not know it, but Abba wants us to eat a certain way. He wants us to have herbs in our diet. He wants that. It fulfills us. It serves a purpose, you know, to keep us functional. But the wise man is going, go and get this vaccine. Go on, get this vaccine. Do that, this number, and we're going to stop this from ever happening. Yeah, okay. It's happening. You know, but that's what's happening. You know, we have to continue getting understanding. Again, he's going to give us the understanding that we need at the time that we need it. Again, it's an individual thing. All right? Streamline what you take in, y'all. Pay attention. All the information that you take in, put it up against this word. Let Yahweh be true, every man a lie. All right? Now, again, this is back to back to Yahushua suffering. He said, how long shall I suffer this old faithless generation? How long will I suffer with you? We're going to look at some examples of some things. In Exodus chapter 14, starting at verse 15. And again, you know, Abba just wants us to grow. He's going to grow us at his rate. And again, your journey is for you. So, Exodus chapter 14, starting at verse 15, it reads, and Yahweh said unto Moshe, wherefore criest thou unto me? Why are you crying unto me? And we know the story behind this. You know, they had the Sea of Reeds, the Red Sea. They trapped Egypt coming after them. Moshe, everybody's starting to panic. Moshe calming the people down, letting them know, Yahweh going to fight for you. That's what he said. That's what he told Israel. But then Yahweh had a question for Moshe. He says, and Yahweh said unto Moshe, wherefore criest thou unto me? What you talking to me for, Moshe? You got this. And that's sort of like what a lot of times what Yahushua was saying. Why did you doubt? Why did you doubt? Why did you doubt? Master, if it be you, tell me to come on to this water. Peter talking to the Messiah. Yeah, it's me. And think about this. Because a lot of times I don't think we think about the details behind this. Peter's a fisherman. Peter ain't jumping out no boat to walk on no water because he saw Yahushua do it fishing. He know he'll jump out the boat, he'll swim. But he ain't jumping out the boat to stand on no water. But because he believed in Yahushua and then he acted on it, he stepped out of the boat and walked on water. Peter did that. And I think that's the part. That wasn't Yahushua. That was Peter functioning within the power of Yahushua. So now, and when I say this, why do you think he gave us his spirit? His Holy Spirit, he imparted it onto us. When you say it's a gift, the Holy Spirit is a gift. Do that means he's giving it away, or this is something he wants you to have? This is something he wants us to have. So now it's no longer, well, he said, it's no longer me, but Messiah in me. So Messiah in me is now me. Yahushua, I know. Paul, I know. Why is he naming these men? Why? Because now that faith can move and it can meld it, and now it's not just you. The same thing that when we read that demon saw Yahushua and he started crying, read their accounts of Paul. When it was that little girl who could tell future. She was a fortune teller. And she followed Paul around all day. Man of God, man of God, man of that demon. And Paul rebuked that demon. But that demon recognized who he was. And he didn't say, Yahushua, Yahushua and Paul, Yahushua and Paul, Yahushua and... No. You didn't do that. But as long as we believe that can't happen, it's not. So again, he says, back to Exodus 14, 15, he says, and Yahweh said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Why are you crying unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. But lift up your rod and stretch out your hand. He's telling him to do. It's time for you to do something, Moshe. You lift up your rod. You stretch out your hand over the sea and divide the sea. You are dividing the sea. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. He told Moshe to do it. Moshe had the faith that Yahweh was speaking to him and told him to do it. It happened. He acted on it, and Moshe did it. Like James said, his faith became complete. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1. Another one. It says, 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1, and it says, and Eliah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as Yahweh, mighty one of Israel, Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to what's coming out of my mouth. It's not going to rain until I say so. Period. And guess what? The heavens were shut up. There wasn't no dew. There wasn't no rain until Eliah prayed again. Till he asked for it, just like the word said. See what happens when our faith grows, what we can accomplish. 2 Kings chapter 1, verse 1. And we're going down to verse 18 with this one. 2 Kings chapter 1, starting at verse 1, it reads, then Moab rebelled against Israel after the death of Ahab. And Ahaziah fell down through a lattice in his upper chamber that was in Samaria and was sick. And he sent messengers and said unto them, go, inquire of Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron, whether I shall recover of this disease. You going to talk to another god, huh? Okay. Verse 3. But the angel of Yahweh said unto Eliah the Tishbite, arise, go up to meet the messengers of the king of Samaria, and say unto them, is it not because there is not a God or a mighty one in Israel that you go to inquire of Baal-zebub, the mighty one of Ekron? Israel ain't got no God no more, huh? Go ask him that. He says in verse 4, now therefore, thus saith Yahweh, you shall not come down from that bed by which you are gone up, but shall surely die. And Eliah departed. So Eliah got the message. verse 5, he says, and when the messengers turned back unto him, he said unto them, why are you now turned back? So Eliab delivered the message. He caught the messengers before they went and talked to Beelzebub. Sent them the message back to the king. They went and delivered that message to the king. He says, the messengers are turned back unto him. He said unto him, why are you now turned back? Verse 6. Basically, what y'all doing here? Verse 6. And they said unto him, there came a man up to meet us and said unto us, go, turn again unto the king that sent you, and say unto him, thus saith Yahweh, is it not because there is not a mighty one in Israel that thou sendest to inquire of Beelzebub, the mighty one of Ekron? Therefore, you shall not come down from that bed on which you are gone up, but thou surely shall die. Verse 7, and he said unto them, what manner of man was he which came up to meet you and told you these words? Matter of fact, what he looked like? What does God look like? He said, what does God look like? Verse 8, and they answered him, he was a hairy man and girt with a girdle of leather about his loins. And he said, it is Eliab the Tishbite. That little bit of description, he knew exactly who he was. Now here you go. Verse 9. Then the king sent unto him a captain of 50 with his 50. And he went up to him, and behold, he sat on the top of a hill, and he spake unto him, you, man of God, man of Elohim, the king hath said, come down. And Eliab answered and said to the captain of 50, if I be a man of mighty one, then let fire come down from heaven and consume thee and thy 50. And there came down a fire from heaven and consumed him and his 50 just because he asked. Just because he spoke it. He spoke it and he believed it. Verse 11. Again also, he sent unto him a captain of 50 with his 50, and he answered and said unto him, O man of Elohim, thus hath the king said, come down quickly. And Eliab answered and said unto them, if I be a man of Elohim, fire come down from heaven and consume thee and thy 50. And the fire of Elohim came down from heaven and consumed him and his people. And he sent again a captain of the third. I'm sorry. Where we need to be. And we shouldn't call fire down on people. We shouldn't. And, you know, even Yahushua said that with the disciples who, when they were disrespecting Yahushua, they said, should we call fire down and destroy him? Yahushua said, no, you're holy, man. I ain't come to kill nobody. You don't know which man of spirit you're dealing with right now. You know? But when the words say, nobody will be able to withstand us. See, those spirits that come around, it's just going to keep people away because that spirit ain't going to want to face you. That spirit don't want to get rent from its host. That spirit don't want that. But it takes time and work. It takes both in order to get to that. And I'm sitting up here, see, but how much time and how much work did Moshe put in? How much time and how much work did Eliyahu put in? And we understand the different spirits that was on them, but they were still men. Sorry, I just took my mind there. But verse 12, he said, and Eliyahu answered and said unto him, if I be a man of Elohim, let fire come down from heaven and consume thee and thy 50. And the fire of Elohim came down from heaven and consumed him and his 50. And he sent again a captain of the third, 50 with third 50 with his 50. And the third captain of 50 went up and came and fell on his knees before Eliyahu and besought him and said unto him, O man of Elohim, I pray thee, let my life and the life of these 50, thy servants, be precious in thy sight. Ugh. Humbled himself. No man will be able to stand before you. 14. Behold, there came fire down from heaven and burnt up the two captains of the former 50s with their 50s. Therefore, let my life be now precious in thy sight. Excuse me, y'all. And the angel of Yahweh said unto Eliyahu, go down with him. Be not afraid of him. And he arose and went down with him. And he said unto him, thus saith Yahweh, for as much as thou hast sent messengers to acquire us, to acquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron, is it not because there is no mighty one in Israel to acquire of his word? Therefore thou shalt not come down off that bed in which thou art gone up, but shalt surely die. So he died according to the word of Yahweh, which Eliyahu has spoken. And Jehoram reigned in his stead in the second year of Jehoram, the son of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, because he had no son. Now the rest of the acts of Ahaziah, which he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of Kings of Israel? So family, I hope everybody understand what's being said. Believe in Yahweh. Even look at 1 Chronicles 20:20. Believe Yahweh. Let's look at this. I don't want to mess that up. Second Chronicles 20:20. We're going to skip down to that part. It says, believe in Yahweh, your mighty one, and so shall you be established. Believe his prophet, so shall you prosper. So even with that, It's something more. It's something more than just belief. Yeah. But the prophets will tell you to do things. All right? And we're going to look at this last verse. Luke chapter 10, starting at verse 17. We're going down to verse 22. Luke chapter 10, starting at verse 17, and it reads, "And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Master, even the devils are subject unto us through your name." The name. Listen, when he said, he did not say that the devils were subject to Yahushua. They already know that. He said the devils are subject to us. Talking about the 70. The devils are subject to us. But as long as we don't believe that, they will never be subject to us. They will continue to run rampant. As long as we say, we ain't got no power of it. As long as we believe that. So what's Satan got to do? He got to keep us doubtful. He got to keep that unbelief in us. He got to work that angle. He got to. That's the only angle he has. That's his power, the power of deception. It says, "And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Master, even the devils are subject unto us through your name." 18. "And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you, I am giving you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy and over all the power of the enemy," meaning the power that I am giving you is more powerful than anything the enemy can do to you. He didn't say the enemy didn't have power. What he said is the power I'm giving to you trumps that. That's what he's saying. He says, "And over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." Nothing by any means shall hurt you. Verse 20. Notwithstanding, and after saying all that, notwithstanding, man, forget all that. Yeah, you heard everything I said. I just told you about all this power I gave you. I just told you about all this. Ain't nothing. You're more powerful than your enemies. Ain't nothing going to hurt you. Nobody, don't worry about nothing. But you know what? Forget all that. Nothing in this. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice. Not that the spirits are subject unto you. Nothing. He keeps on reiterating that. The spirit, they subject unto us. He keeps on telling us that. We don't believe that. But he knows. What happens if we start believing that? Notwithstanding, in this rejoice, not that the spirits are subject unto thee, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Your names are written in there. That's what you ought to be happy about. So wait a minute. I'm not even going to go there with that. Verse 21, it says, in that hour, Yahushua rejoiced in spirit. You hear this? In that hour, Yahushua rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Master of heaven and earth, that you have hid these things from the wise and prudent and has revealed them unto babes. For even so, Father, even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. So is this part of the Father's will? Part of his will is for us to have authority and power over the enemy and that the spirits be subject unto us. Is that part of his will? Is that what he's saying here? So he says, verse 22, it says, all things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. We are special. We are his but we have to understand who we are. And when I say that, please, I say that in all humility and sincerity. We don't want to get a big head. We don't want to start thinking that we're something when we're nothing. But we have something in Messiah. He has made us into something grand, something useful. Spirit is with us. And as we grow with it, we'll be able to manifest these things as he did, and even more so according to what the word say, thy words have made I understand more than the ancients. So brothers and sisters, let's streamline all this information that's coming. Put it up against that Torah. See where it stands. You know? Separate the meat from the bone. You know, because that's always going to be an issue. This is a scientific fact. This is a fact. This is a fact. This is a fact on that. Let Yahweh be true. Let him hold the facts. I hope everybody grows and gets what Abba got for them and just continue on the journey, y'all. Like we read, the race ain't given to the swift or the strong. One endures to the end. You know, remember, keep each other in prayer, lift each other up, be there, keep each other, all right? If you have any questions, put them on the line, me and my brothers will answer. All right, and that ends the Torah portion for the day. Not Torah portion. blog talk, magnify the Torah, make it honorable. Blessed are you, Yahweh, King of the universe, Rock of all eternities, righteous in all generations, the trustworthy mighty one, who says and does, who speaks and fulfills, all of whose words are true and righteous. Trustworthy are you, Yahweh, Almighty One, and trustworthy are your words. No one of your words is turned back to its origin unfulfilled, for you, Almighty One, trustworthy and compassionate King. Excuse me. Blessed be you, Yahweh, the Mighty One, who is trustworthy in all his words. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, in the name of our Son, Yahushua HaMashiach, Savior, our Redeemer, our soon coming King, Father.
Thinking about the world, looking at the nation, suicide, genocide, homicide. Three words come to mind, times are changing, yeah. No more rumors, there are wars going on. Twisted doctor, scientists making clones. Economy got some backs against the wall. People dying for no reason at all. People of God don't even read their Bibles. There's no faith, no trust in the Word. But everybody seems to be quoting Scripture. It's just another word they heard. Pastors leaving pulpits cause they're tired. It's all based on how we feel. Overheard two people speaking the other day. One said that God's not real, but I'm just one of them more people who's got a hold on. Sometimes I can't see, but I still believe he's taking care of me. Oh, I'm just one of them old people God's got a hold on. I believe, yeah. So I'll choose to look on the brighter side in spite of all the negativity I'm surrounded by. No, it ain't perfect, but that's alright. Cause his hand is on me and it's keeping me alive. So many disappointments. So much I don't understand. So much I don't have answers for. That's what makes me trust you more. In a world that's always changing, everything's rearranging. But no matter what's going on, I'ma be standing, I'ma be holding on. Your truth, their truth, my truth. Your God, my God, our view. All I know is one thing nowadays, is we all need hope, we all need faith, and I'm just one of them old people who's got a hold on. Sometimes I can't see, but I still believe he's taking care of me. Yes, he is. Oh, I'm just one of them old people. God's got a hold on. Don't you let go of me, Lord, please. I believe, I believe. Yeah. Oh, I'm just one of them old people who's got a hold on. Sometimes I can't see, but I still believe he's taking care of me. Yes, he is. Oh, believer.